Welcome back to Challenges of Faith Radio Program. I'm Gary McCann. I'd like to acknowledge God. And you are listeners listening in from the Court of Special Appeals of Maryland. United Surgical Partners International, Inc., Thompson, Chicago, Newmec, Coeur Mining, Inc., Caesars Entertainment Corporation, Camco Private Equity Group, Caribbean, University of Econ Wayne College, Stark Regional Community Correctional Center, Secretary General at the European American Migration Health Platform, Common Spirit Health, PNS Transportation, Thorpe Development East, Securities and Exchange Commission, School District 49, Anna Maria of Aurora, Coalition on Homelessness and Housing in Ohio, Carol's Antique Mall, Buffalo Tungsten Inc., Total Football Analysis Solutions, Northeast Georgia Health, Dayton Public School District 2 Team Inc., Girl Scouts of Northeast Ohio, American Red Cross, LaCorsia Hospitality Group, Pet Scholars, City of Cincinnati, Cleveland Clinic Hillcrest, Cleveland Clinic, comma, Hillcrest Pediatrics, Ohio State University, Autism Learning Partners, Judges, Joshua Ministries, Chevron, Prince George Public School Association, County Schools, Accounting Principals, IWU National and Global, Centric Brands, Orthopedic Associates of Dayton, Ashley Furniture, France Invest Credit, Industries, Amazon, Army National Guard, Neuroscientists, Department of Defense, Harding and Jacob Insurance, member A.C. Murray Group, CARF International, DC Tech LDT, Ken Hoyas International, the Freeman Group, LTD, said it again, Beckford College, Northwestern University, Pritzker School of Law, Coldwell Banker Heritage Real Estate, Signature Health, Inc., NYX Professional Makeup, Pride Health, Specialized Staffing Solutions, Brothers United, Talbots, Baker McKenzie, Omnicare, MBA Jarvis Garfield, Kingston UK Law Society. Thank you for taking the time out of your schedule and tuning in to Challengers of Faith radio program. Know that you're appreciated. There was a proud teak, T-E-A-K, tree in the forest, tall and robust. There was a small herb next to the tree. The teak tree said, as I slowed down, I'm very handsome and strong. No one can defeat me. Hearing this, the herb replied, dear friend, too much pride is harmful. Even the strong will fall one day. The teak ignored the herb's words. He continued to praise himself. A strong wind blew. The teak stood firmly. Even when it rained, the teak stood firm by spreading its leaves. During these times, the herb bowed low. The teak made fun of the herb. One day, there was a storm in the forest. The herb bowed low, as usual, the teak. Then I went about. The storm kept growing stronger. The teak could no longer bear it. He felt his strength giving way. He tried his best to stand upright, but in the end, he failed. That was the end of the proud tree. When everything was calm again, the herb stood straight. He looked around. He saw that the proud teak had fallen. The last time we spoke on the Black Generation Z and the Black Church. And as you know, I always like to start at home. First start with myself, home. Then you start with your loved ones and your neighborhood and your place of worship, and you know, you continue outward. That's where change takes place. According to a Pew Research report just released, as relates on the views on the role of religion in government, and this is part one, voters who support President Biden and voters who support former President Trump have starkly different views of the role religion should play in the U.S. government and politics, a recent Pew Research Center report shows. And the reason why you hear me say part two is because I'm going to lay it out as relates to from the Christianity standpoint. Remember, Christianity is not a religion, it's a person. But for their purposes, we start off with the secular report. The President Biden supporters, 86%, are much more likely than former President Trump supporters, 56%, to say religion should be kept separate from government policy. Just 13 of Biden supporters say government policies should support religious values, compared to 43% supporters who say that. Within the general public, a large majority of voters, 71%, believe that religion should be kept separate from government policies, while 28% say government policies should support religious values and benefits. The report also shows how Biden supporters and Trump supporters differ on other cultural issues, including immigration, gender identity, and racial and ethnic diversity. Some data in the report was previously published earlier this year. Religious values and the 2024 election. Voters who support President Biden and former President Donald Trump have starkly different views of the role religion should play in the U.S. government and politics. And when you have a chance, you pull up the report that just came out, you'll be able to chance to see the chart, C-H-A-R-T, that goes with it. And you'll see how it differs from the supporters. The chart's going to show that President Biden and former President Trump supporters differ on government support for religion and the Bible's influence on the nation's laws. And as you know, you got to remember, it comes back to the individuals who have accepted Christ in their life and on a daily moment-by-moment basis have surrendered to God because of Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit. And while reading the Word, studying the Word, applying the Word to one's life, can that person, irrespective of where they live at, have an effect on their community? Across several measures, supporters are much more likely than Biden supporters to favor an expansive government role in support of religion. At the same time, larger shares of Trump supporters than Biden supporters also say religion, and particularly the Bible, should have influence on government policy. A large majority of voters, 71%, believe that religion should be kept separate from government policies. Just 28% says government policy should support religious values and beliefs. These views have changed very little in recent years. A majority of Trump voters, 56%, say religion should be kept separate from government policy, while 43% say government policy should support religious values. By more than 6-1% versus 13%, Biden supporters say religion should be kept separate from government. These views differ by race, especially among Trump supporters by religious affiliation. Few white, 7%, Asian, 12%, or Hispanic, 15%. Biden supporters say government should support religious values, but about a third of black voters who back Biden, 35, say this. About 4 in 10 white, 44%, and Hispanic, 40%, Trump supporters say the government should have policies to support religion. About 6 in 10 white evangelical Protestants who support Trump, 61%, say government policy should support religious values and beliefs, compared with fewer than half of the white non-evangelical Protestants, 39%, and Catholics, 39%, who backed the former president. Few religiously unaffiliated Trump supporters, 16%, want the government to support religion. Among supporters of Biden, black Protestants are the most likely religious group to say government policy should support religious values. 39% of black Protestant Biden supporters say this, while white non-evangelical Protestants, 7%, and religiously unaffiliated Biden supporters are the least likely to back government support for religious values. And when you look at the chart, it's going to show the deep divisions between the Biden and Trump supporters in view of whether the Bible should influence the United States laws. And if you look around globally, if you look around in the United States, you already know the answer, especially a believer of the household of faith who's in a right relationship with God. You didn't hear me say anything about a right relationship with your neighbor or the pew member or the pastor or the people on your job, or the people in the political world, the educational world, the criminal justice world, the social world, the medical world, you name the world system. Most Trump supporters, 69%, would like the Bible to have at least some influence on the laws of the United States, including 36% who say it should have a great deal of influence. As I take a sip of my water, since I am on the road today. Additionally, 45% of Trump supporters say that when the Bible and the will of the people conflict with each other, the Bible should have more influence on U.S. law. You know, we look at the word of God, not the word of some man or woman, woman's a man. Isn't it interesting how God, before all the politicians ever came along, in respect of where they are around the globe, have clear instructions for believers of the household of faith? Did you know that? I know you're going to do your research. I hope you are. About 7 in 10 Biden supporters, 69%, said the Bible should have little or no influence on the laws of the United States, including 53% who said it should have no influence. Just 15% of Biden supporters say the Bible should have more influence on the country's laws when there are conflicts between it and the will of the people. Look around in your country and yours, but here in the United States, look around. Look what's going on law-wise in many respects. Individuals, you know, committing crimes, getting away with it, no accountability. There's a similar pattern in Biden and Trump supporters' views of whether the government should promote Christian moral values or declare Christianity the official religion of the United States. And we look at the chart is going to show that supporters of Biden and Trump have wide differences over government promotion of Christian moral values. About 6 in 10 Biden supporters, 58%, say the federal government should not declare Christianity the official religion of the United States and should not promote Christian moral values. 17% of Trump backers have the same view. A similar share of Trump supporters, 59%, also say that the federal government should not declare Christianity the official religion, but it should promote Christian moral values. 34% of Biden supporters say the same. You know, I think I'm going to talk about it a little bit. Yeah, I'm going to wait, but I'm going to correlate what I'm just saying to. So the parent or parents, whoever raised you, taught you from their faith, the right and wrongs, the do's and don'ts, and going out into society so that you are implementing those values, in contrast to someone who is not, but yet individuals have a problem with that irrespective of their title. Have you noticed that? By roughly 2-1, 67% to 33% voters say it is not necessary to believe in God in order to be moral and have good values. Well, the Word of God talks about a good Samaritan, a good Samaritan. And when you really boil it down, if the person is going to be honest, they have to be honest with God, whoops, but they don't believe in God. They will have to recognize that it came from somewhere. You can't just be good all by yourself. Oh, I decided to be good today. Because you got to remember, out there are individuals that's going to oppose that by saying, well, what's good? And now you get into a philosophical one. Ooh, Trump voters are more evenly divided in this view than are Biden voters among Trump supporters. While 45% of Trump supporters say a belief in God is necessary to be moral, 54% says it is not necessary. Among Trump supporters, white evangelical Protestants, 59%, say belief in God is needed to be moral, the most of any religious group. Among Biden supporters, just 20% of Biden voters say a belief in God is needed to be moral and have good values. However, Biden supporters are divided by race and religious affiliation. Much larger shares of Biden's black, 53%, Hispanic, 28% supporters than his white supporters, 8% say believe in God is needed for morality. Look around. Look around. A majority of black Protestants, 57%, who support Biden said belief in God is needed for morality. compared with smaller shares of his supporters in other religious groups. Paid attention? Are you paying attention? Especially believer of the household of faith. Voters who favor President Biden, those who favor former President Trump, hold very different views about race in American society. Some of the starkest differences across all political values in this study are over the degree to which black Americans continue to be affected by the legacy of slavery and whether white Americans benefit from society advantages black Americans do not have. Well, if a person, irrespective of their skin tone, is going to be honest, now see, notice that. You see, you may talk to this one person, and then what is honesty? But if one is going to be honest, irrespective of your background, then you're going to be honest about slavery. And you're going to be honest about the societal advantages as a result of arising from that, if you're going to be honest. And you know you're going to pass it on to your friends, your family, your relatives, your children. And gaps between Biden and Trump supporters over perceptions of the impact of a nation's growing diversity are nearly as wide. Voters' views about race and society, the impact of the legacy of slavery. And if you look at the chart, it shows supporters of Biden and Trump differ over whether race, the legacy of slavery, impact black people today. You know, the battle's in the mind, and it's real. And for anyone to believe that it's not real is mistaken, but all they got to do is look at themselves. You know, even the Apostle Paul made it clear over in Romans chapter 7. He said, you know, the things that he want to do, he don't do. And the things that he don't want to do, he does. But you see, by the time he gets to Romans chapter 8, verse 1, he found the victory. That's from a spiritual, biblical standpoint. But how about the person who, remember now, don't believe in God, don't want God in their life, and you're trying to drum up what type of moral values when you're questioning what honesty is and this and that you know is real? Think about it. And when you do your true research, if you're going to be real and honest from the inside, but you got to remember now, some people, our hearts are hardened. And some people, they look and say, not them, but maybe you. Think about what I'm trying to say. I'm not trying to say it, I'm saying it. Among registered voters, 8 in 10 Biden supporters say that white people benefit at least a fair amount from advantages in society that black people do not have. By contrast, only 22% of Trump supporters say this. And this is a similar divide in opinion about the continuing impact the legacy of slavery has on black Americans. Most Biden supporters, 79%, said it continues to have at least a fair amount of impact. Among Trump supporters, a far smaller share, 27%, say slavery's legacy continues to affect black people in the United States. You know, I think that in the United States, and I'm probably wrong, I remember my pastor say that God was going to show that every skin tone created by God in the United States is going to have a chance to be in charge so that nobody has an excuse to say they didn't have a chance. And it's going to show that no one knows what they're doing but God. But I believe that everybody who should be are not being. I think that the system is waiting for those blacks, especially older blacks, to die out because the younger blacks who really don't know the true history will buy into anything and believe anything as relates to what is owed from the days of slavery to our families. That's what I believe. And when you get mad because individuals in and through and from the black community see that individuals who came, irrespective of how one came, and when you look around the globe, everybody's benefiting, but the people who was brought over during slavery. And I know that on Juneteenth, I know that many of you was watching, but, you know, isn't interesting, you know, so you keep the people in the dark for 2 years after, on paper, you've been set free. And I'm sure that there were people justifying that, just like I'm talking about today as it relates to moral values. Oh, okay. Sounds good, doesn't it? Not before God. And not before individuals whose eyes are open, ears are open, and are of age. The divides are not new. In 2020, the gap between Trump and Biden supporters on questions related to race was also wide, shifting views about whether white people have societal advantages. Overall, about half of registered voters, 51%, say that people benefit a fair amount from advantages in society that black people do not have. Though the share who say this is down 4 percentage points in the last 2 years and 8 points in 2020, the share of voters who say white people benefit a great deal from advantages in society has decreased from 32% in 2022 to 24% today. And most of this change has taken place among Democrats. From the summer of 2020 through the fall of 2022, roughly 6 in 10 Democratic-leaning voters said that white people benefited a great deal from advantages in society that black people did not have, but fewer, 44%, say this today, a decrease of 15 points in 2 years. Now, you already heard me say, look how many millions of people in the United States. I've never been interviewed survey-wise. I know you have, and you. Black voters are more likely than voters in other racial and ethnic groups to say that white people benefit from advantages in society that black people do not have. That's just true. If you know the truth, but remember, there's going to be somebody talking about what is true. That's why I use examples and will continue to use examples in upcoming topics, especially on Relational Wednesday and the Say What series. You know, could you imagine something happening to you and you and you that impacted you and your loved ones, and somebody come along and try to tell you it's not impacting? Oh, it impacted them 12,000 years ago and it doesn't have an impact, an influence on you today. There's something wrong with you. That doesn't mean that you use whatever you want to use as an excuse not to move forward in life, whatever the topic happened to be. And that doesn't mean that you, as you've heard me say in the segments when I dealt with from our community, continue to pose the question when I had the data coming from slavery to Negro to black to African-American, where I wasn't speaking of individuals who happen to have the same skin tone that came from abroad that all of a sudden you mix in number-wise to make up the black population. When you look at the chart, it's going to show that the black voters are four times as likely as white voters to say white people benefit a great deal from advantages. You know, and there's going to be somebody that's going to say, well, not, I don't benefit. And then you'd have to look at their age, where they actually came from, all of that. Nearly two-thirds of black voters, 66%, said that white people benefit a great deal from advantages in society that black people did not have. By comparison, about 3 in 10 Asian, that's 31%, and Hispanic voters, 30% say this, along with just 16% of white voters. And remember now, everybody doesn't vote. Just like everybody hasn't taken the survey. Majority of Asians, 79%, and Hispanic voters, 66%, say that white people benefit at least a fair amount, while 42% of white voters and 84% of black voters say this. So I want you to think about that. So don't get mad, and God forbid you're a believer of a household of faith in a right relationship with God, at that black person who was the one impacted versus any other community. There are relatively modest overall differences among age groups on this question. Voters under 50 are somewhat more likely than those 50 and older to say white people benefit from advantages black people do not have. Roughly a third of voters with postgraduate degrees, 35%, say that white people benefit a great deal from advantages black people do not have. By comparison, those with less formal education are less likely to say that. That's because that individual with those postgraduate degrees, they know the truth of how they arrived. And their family members may be wealthy. And then when you do the research on that and where all that came from, and then you go back during the time of slavery, bringing it up to date, it's going to answer your question if you want the truth. There are similar patterns in voters' views of whether the historical legacy of slavery continues to affect the position of black people in American society. The chart shows differences by age, education, race, and views of the ongoing effects of slavery's legacy. So, you know, think about it. You hear all the psychologists, the counselors, and everybody, you know, trying to get you to go on wherever your issue happened to be, or your issue and your issue and your issue, and they let you know that that which has happened is impacting you today, and they're trying to help you to move forward, just like the Word of God does, by letting you know, hey, you once was this, but now you're this. Two-thirds of black voters say that the legacy of slavery has a great deal of impact today. Far smaller shares than other racial and ethnic groups say this. Okay. Nearly 4 in 10 voters aged 18 to 29, 37% say this. The largest share in any age group. You know, you got to give that individual's 18 to 29 credit. Think about it. Look who's out here looking for the truth. Not your truth, not my truth, but the truth. But if you don't believe in God like you say you don't, then you're not going to feed them God's truth. You're going to feed them whatever you believe and whatever you're into. And then you get mad when they're searching for the truth. Oh, it happens to be your child or yours and yours and your grandchild or great-grandchild, whatever the case may be. And then you really get mad when they look at the fact that what's coming out of your lips is matching your shoes, truth. Roughly a third of voters with graduate degrees see a great deal of impact from the legacy of slavery, a larger share than among those with less formal education. Seven in 10 black Biden supporters say that the legacy of slavery has a great deal of impact on black people today. This is about twice the shares among white, Hispanic, and Asian Biden backers. The pattern is nearly identical for views about whether white Americans benefit from societal advantages black people do not have. Think about it. And then we talked about last time, and you're wondering, political party, why black men whose eyes have been opened, who said no more, feet-wise, voting-wise, see the reality that, wait a minute, one has been used. You push them aside, and you grab the next skin tone, or the next skin tone, wrap it in under whatever you wrap it under. And you say what? Or it's just a commonly believed, whether you want to accept it or not, or somebody in the black community has to die or something happened to them, and all of a sudden you now want to place the black female in the position of your company or organization. And how long your organization been in existence? And why haven't that been done before? Oh, and God forbid you're a believer of the household of faith in a right relationship with God. And we're not talking about placing somebody in a position who's not qualified. Because, you know, you can use that excuse for many, many ways and reasons to keep one from being where they should, need, ought, and must be in order to cause a positive change in the community. You hear me say anything about a positive or negative decline, but a positive change. But the question still comes back to, okay, so if you've been, this is a bad example. If you've been in existence for 12,000 years, and the individual community has been in existence near the same length of time, and all of a sudden a crime takes place that affected their community, now all of a sudden you're promoting somebody. Why did it take that long? And again, always talk about motive. What's your motive? Across all demographic groups, Biden supporters are more likely than Trump supporters to hold these views. Most voters, but not all, view the nation's diversity as a strength. Nearly two-thirds of voters, 65%, say the fact that the U.S. population is made up of people of many different races and religions strengthens American society. Yeah. Remember now, you got to do your history, your true research. You can say that now, but could you say that from the time of slavery up until the change began in the United States? See, I think that's what people are missing. And, oh, you don't want to go back on that. About 1 in 10, 11% say this weakens American society, while 23% says it doesn't make much difference. And you got to remember, think about it. Oh, everybody came from God, but the person who don't believe anything about God don't believe that. Oh, you were created by God. Oh, the person who think they were not created by God don't believe that. Every skin tone. Remember now, last time we talked about how that, you know, individuals take the word of God, you know, because then you will get into the argument about the Bible, and that can be a discussion. But how about the ones that took the word of God, again, the Bible? What was the skin tone? It didn't make a difference what your skin tone is. Who took the Bible, twisted it, changed it, did all of that to affect the people, starting with their mind, leading people to believe when you misinterpreted, misquoted, twisted, as relates to individuals of different skin tones coming together, trying to blame it on God that they're supposed to stay apart when that's not what he was talking about. He's talking about believers and non-believers. Majorities across racial and ethnic groups say that this strengthens society, including 67% of Hispanic voters, 66% of black voters, and 64% of white voters. Asian voters are particularly likely to say this, 76%. Nearly 8 in 10 voters with postgraduate degrees, 78%, say that having a diverse population is a strength, as do 73% of those with undergraduate degrees. Although narrow majorities of those with some college experience, 63%, or high school education, or less, 55%, view diversity as a strength. Just 13% in these groups said it is a weakness. The remainder said it doesn't make a difference. You know, when I was coming up, it didn't make a difference what skin tone was living next door. And we didn't need a riot in Los Angeles. Can we all get along to ensure we got along? We got along naturally. And that's really why, when I hear individuals, and I was on a plane, and I know the person was younger than me. and they sat next to me, you know, and I'm going to be cordial to everybody because, you know, I got to give an account. Our arms, you know how small those armrests are? Barely touch. I thought they were going to take a parachute and jump out of the plane. I just laughed on the inside. I turned and asked them, have you had a good day? I listened to the excuse. I don't know if they were talking in an unknown language or what, trying to explain it away. But I wanted to ensure them. I hope they do have a continue of a nice day. And I thought to myself, that's not, a person not born that way, irrespective of your skin tone. That's learned, that's taught. You know it's true. On the last segment, I spoke issue that, and you heard me allude to the black male and what you're hearing in the United States today. I spoke on the issue that North Carolina Representative Clyburn is speaking to in an article on the last segment of Say What. Jim Clyburn says it's time to talk some sense into younger black generation. The Biden campaign co-chair believes black parents should be responsible for convincing black youth to vote for Biden. It says Jim Clyburn is banned from voting for Trump. And the article was written by, and I don't want to destroy her name, Tinashe, spelling, last name of Chingarande, and it was put out June the 25th at 3:41 p.m. There's almost certainly no member of Congress more responsible for President Joe Biden's victory in 2020 than South Carolina Representative Jim Clyburn. And as polls show, Biden's struggling with black voters, specifically young black voters. Clyburn has a new message for his generation. It's time for black elders to have a chat with the younger branches of the family. They should try and talk some sense to their children. Clyburn told Notice in an interview this week, following a series of Biden campaign events in Georgia that he headlined over the weekend. Clyburn, now the Biden campaign's 2024 co-chair, believes the younger black voters have fallen prey to misinformation and disinformation, citing the increasing credulity with which voters are taking Donald Trump's claims that he's done more for black people than anyone, with the possible exception of Abraham Lincoln. If you believe that, he said, of Trump's comment, your parents should have sent their mule to school and kept you at home. Clyburn added that if black voters go to the ballot box believing Trump's rhetoric, his second Trump presidency will be intimate. We may be back into Jim Crow again, he said. Clyburn's stern warning wasn't a criticism of black voters of any generation. He said he was guilty of not always sharing the details of the civil rights struggles he experienced. I know what I had to go through. I know what I saw my parents go through. But he said Trump's post enough of a threat to the black community, he and other black leaders need to start speaking out about the indignities that my mother and father had to endure so I could be where I'm at today. If I see and hear from a candidate they want to bring those indignities back to the process, Clyburn said, I've got an obligation to sit with these children of mine and what the HR are you thinking about? Young black voters have turned on Biden to an extent over a number of his policies. Especially the war in Gaza has made younger voters broadly more distrustful of Biden. An uneven economic recovery has also presented a political challenge to the president with black voters, as well as Democratic failures to enact a new voting rights law or new policing reforms. Clyburn has long disputed that black voters' support for Biden is precarious and argued that the media is failing the American people by repeating perceptions that Biden is losing steam with black voters. It's gotten to a point where Democrats might fail to overtake this narrative, he added. Let me just say this before I continue. I don't buy 99% of what was just said. I said I did. I didn't say you, you, and you, and you. And it sounded good because you, of a different state, of the people in your state, your community know you. And it's interesting, you're trying to tell individuals of the black community across this nation what to tell their children, what they've already told their children, have told their children, just like they have woken up, and their children have woken up. Notice how I did that. Because there's always somebody around going to critique what you're saying, how you're saying, and everything else along the line. He said, I'm going to do everything I can to try and compete and win. He said, we may not be able to. My parents could not. You see, he can only talk about his parents. There are, of course, plenty of black voters who won't take kindly to Cliburn's warnings. I'm one of them. When notice asked Nina Turner, a former Ohio State representative who served as national co-chair of Senator Bernie Sanders' 2020 presidential campaign, what she thought of Clyburn's message, she said, was really stretching. She said to try and scare black voters, particularly young black voters, into voting for Biden is desperate. He is really desperate, she said. Again, I agree with Nina. Stretch so far is unbelievable. What's your motive? And again, for further reading on the Pew Research, I encourage you to go to Pew Research for their complete report. And I also encourage you to seek reports from Christian organizations as well. Because everyone's thoughts and opinions are not reported. Does everybody want their opinion reported? Meaning from the system standpoint, of course they may not. Because then you now have all sides allowing you, especially if you're a believer of the household of faith, to go before God, the throne of grace and mercy, asking God what you should do, who you should vote for, all of that in accordance with the word. I'm not embarrassed about anything I went through. What may be tea for you is a testimony for me. And if you're going to talk about what broke me, invite me to the table so I can tell you what God did with the pieces. Today's scripture, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace and faith so that you overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 15, verse 3. Do you notice it didn't say by the power of some woman, some man? Did you notice that? You sure? All right, long as you noticed it. Time, we're going to look at it from the biblical Christian perspective. You don't mind, do you? I know you don't.
Darkness no longer, a child is born. Mother shed tears of joy as baby kept his lungs. My daddy's not there where he ought to be. Somewhere in Georgia, skinning and shooting craps on his knee. Another victim born out here in the hood. And based on statistics, it really ain't all good. Welfare takes the tab, and daddy can't sign. And it can't be seen, the family becomes a crime. The hunt is on, and brother, you're the prey. Serving time in jail, it just ain't the way. I'm living so hard, babe, that my hair's gray. We got to make a change, it's a brand new day.
A new world order, a brand new day.
It's a new day.
A change of mind. A new world order, a brand new day. A change of mind for the
smart to me. And plus the other day, look, look, we all witnessed the swift rolling down Miss Liberty's head. She knows the sleeping giant is no longer sleeping dead. Oh, what a fulfillment of prophecy. Let us teach the children freedom's never been free. It's okay to cry, go ahead and cry, 'cause Jesus wept, but hope and faith be kept. It's a new day,
a world order, a brand new day.
It's
a change of mind for the human race.
It's
a new world order, a brand new day.
It's
a change of mind for the human race.
The die has been cast, and there's no need to fear, 'cause people, the answer to your prayers are here. Sister Mary, don't you weep, tell mother not to moan. We need the love, and daddy's coming home. There's no need to worry, the time dictator plan. Mother Earth's given birth to a brand new man. Sister, I know you're misunderstood, but hold on to your man, 'cause the future looks good. It's a new day,
a new world order, a brand new day.
It's a new
a change of mind for the human race.
It's
a new world order, a brand new day.
It's
a change of mind for the human race.
Beware of the lies and false prophecy. We are many with the eyes, but don't all really see. You must be merciful, my friend, to obtain the same. So if you break the chain, don't pass the blame. We should say unto all, and I'll say it again, it's not just to win, shake a hand, make a friend. We who are pure at heart somehow might see there's still light in the world. Come rejoice with me, it's a new day.
A new world.